Welcome back to PoePolitikin.com. This is a special episode of Wrestling Underscore Hip Hop. Make sure y'all subscribe. Check it out. Wrestling Underscore Hip Hop. 1212 place to be with my homie Shay Guzman. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, no doubt, man. So I read it. Let me see what your Instagram say. It say money making Shay. Then it say professional wrestler. A thug changes, love changes, best friends become world. Strangest word. That's that Tupac verse, huh?
That's Nas. I think Nas said it best.
Okay.
But it could have been from Pac too, you know? What they say, you know, you borrow other people's shit is like it's flattery, right?
Yeah, so I just wanted to like I said, I just love wrestling too. So I like to bring people on and talk wrestling, man. So just take us back to your early childhood when you first found out about wrestling.
Yes. Damn. I remember my mom was like infatuated with Andre the Giant. Like my mom loves Andre the Giant, bro. And I remember I was mad young, man. But my mom, she showed me when I was like 4 years old, probably. She showed me the Andre the Giant versus the Hulk Hogan match. You remember that one at WrestleMania 3?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, classic, right? So I've been watching it since then. You know what I mean? I used to go to Puerto Rico. That's where I grew up when I was young, real young, though. My mom came to New York. She wanted, you know what I mean? She wanted me to go to school out here. It's a lot more easier. Believe it or not, it's a lot more safer in New York than it is in Puerto Rico. But, yeah, man, I've been a fan of this wrestling shit for years, man. Like, you know, like, woo! I mean, I was a fan of Shawn Michaels, keeping a buck. He got all the bitches. You know what I mean? He was getting all the ladies. So I was like, damn, I gotta be like Shawn, you know what I mean? And yeah, man, I've been watching it forever. Being these days. Like,
I don't know if you know about because when I think about Puerto Rican wrestling, I always think about Pedro Morales.
Yeah.
But then after that, I know the Colognes was been running shit for forever. The Colognes.
Yeah, they heavy. They heavy in Puerto Rico. They run that whole circuit out there. You know, they big over there.
Yeah, it's tight. That's tight.
Yeah. That'll be a dream one day. I'll be over there. Facts. You'll see me over there.
So then how did you end up becoming a pro wrestler?
You know, it's funny because, like, I grew up – so, like, you know, I don't want to be cliche, but, you know what I mean? Like, I grew up in the streets for real. You know what I mean? Like, I was really out there moving when I was a youngster. So, like, I never thought I'd be a wrestler. You know what I mean? I did boxing. I was heavy in boxing. I was ranked in 2015 as a top prospect. I got fortunate to, like, spar with Adam Kownacki, who's a top 10 heavyweight in the world right now. I was a heavyweight. I've always been a big guy. You know what I mean? It was funny. I used to jog 10 miles a week at 260 pounds. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, that was, like, 3 Monday, 3 Wednesday, 3 Friday. But how I got into the wrestling shit, quite frankly, is wild. Because, like, you know, I dabbled in it when I was younger. Like, you know, like, I was, like, 19. I learned how to do, like, a couple back bumps from a spot. But I can't lie to you, man. I was really caught up in the street life. But wrestling saved me. Wrestling gave me another chance. So did boxing. I got a job at a gym. I was teaching people how to box. And one of my boys was like, yo, bro, I got these wrestling tickets. You got to come with me. I'm like, all right. I'll come check it out. And I went to the show, and it was funny as fuck because I was just chilling. I was a big fan. You know, I'm chilling. I'm screaming. I'm the wildest fan there. And I remember after the show, we meet people, you know, and little Guido happened to be one of the wrestlers that were on the card. And he came up to me. He goes, hey, you a wrestler? And I'm like, nah. He's like, you should be. And, like, I was just like, you know, I don't know, maybe, possibly.
You go like that?
In a double,
yeah.
You know, but I was very fortunate, man. I was very fortunate. I actually took his advice, and I signed up for wrestling that year, like probably that week. I did that, and like I said, I was on and off, man, because that boxing thing was clicking for me. You know, I was getting paid from that, doing the classes and teaching people self-defense classes, and you know, I was kind of at the point in my life where, like, I let go of the street shit, you know what I mean, and like found a way to make money. But the wrestling shit pulled me in, man. That entertainment value don't understand, like, there's no money in boxing. There's no money in boxing unless you, like, heavy into it. And, like, you know, like, with all due respect, there's some amazing coaches out there, but a lot of these coaches, they don't care about you. They want to turn you professional so quick so they can throw you in there and get a payday, you know what I mean? But as far as wrestling, the avenues it provides, you know, anything that's illegal is legal in professional wrestling. So that's another reason why I got in that.
How long you been wrestling?
Well, that's the thing, man. I mean, like, I could lie to people and say many years, you know, because I started off when I was like 19 at this place called FTW. I did it for like 3-4 months. And Ortiz, that's in the inner circle right now, as funny as it is, he was actually one of my classmates.
It's funny. He actually liked one of our posts. I reposted their picture, and he liked it. That's crazy you said
his name. He's a real one, man. He's a real good guy, man. You know, he remembered me, too. It's funny because even though I didn't wrestle, you know, I was always around it. You know what I mean? So, like, I wrestled there for, like maybe 4 or 5 months, and then I just quit. Like I said, that I was 19, 20. I was caught up in that street life, you know what I mean? And it's funny, like, you know, years go by, you know what I mean? So, like, let's see, 19, I did it for 6 months. I stopped. I got back in it at 25. You know what I'm saying? I waited 6 years. And I signed up at this place, NYWC, and I trained there for a little bit, you know what I mean? A lot of great guys there that helped me out, you know what I mean? But like I said, I ain't gonna lie, I was caught up, you know what I mean? I was just caught up, you know, living a different life, and I left it again. But consistently, I've been wrestling for 2.5 years, and it's the best thing ever, you know. Fortunately, I got a good, you know, good pedigree behind me of trainers. I was trained by Dory Funk Jr., which was a very interesting.
That's one of the goats.
Oh, yeah, it's a very interesting outlook for professional wrestling in that location. Very good times, some bad times, but that's pro wrestling for you, you know? After I stayed there, I went to a tryout seminar to, I think it was Marty Jones. He's a big legend in England. He came out, and Robbie Brookside had a seminar the following day. So, like I said, like, you know, even before I even hit that, like, real shit, like, I remember, like I said, I didn't wrestle for years. You know what I mean? From 25, I stopped. 28, I got back in because one of my boys, Alex, his name is Alex Coughlin. He's one of the, Young Lions for New Japan right now. He hit me up before he got signed. And me and him signed up when I was 25. We both stopped. It was weird. Like, we both signed up the same week. We both stopped at the same time. You know what I mean? And we stayed friends ever since. He hit me up one time, and he was like, yo, like, New Japan's coming to LA. I need you to come with me. I'm like, bro, I haven't gotten in the ring for years. Like, it's been 3 years. Like, I don't think I'm coming. You know what I mean? And he's like, nah, you got to come with me. You got to come with me. So me and him, literally, we signed up in my crib, and we went to we went all the way to LA, bro. And that's where I met Katsuyori Shibata and Scorpio Sky. And I was really lucky to have those guys for that week train me because they really opened my eyes on how big professional wrestling is. Like, I, you know, when you watch it on TV, you think America, you know, but when you see how serious they take it in Japan, it's like another world, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah, Japan, that shit's like a cinema, how they do theirs.
Bro, I came in there, man. Mind you, like I said, man, I wasn't in the shape. I took 3 years off, you know what I mean, from 25. And I got in, and the first thing they make you do is 500 squats right off the rip. You walk in, it's 500 squats.
Break your ass off right there.
Oh, man, then 100 lion push-ups to top it off. And
what's lion push-ups?
Oh, man, it's pain. It's painful, brother. It's literally you put yourself in a push-up with your ass up, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
And you kind of do a cobra dip, and you kind of slide. Yeah.
It's, in the Marines, they call them submarines.
Oh, man, no wonder.
100 after the squats?
Yeah, bro, it was real life, and that was just a warm-up. And then that was literally right when we walked in, and I could totally respect and understand what New Japan's doing with their athletes because they're very on top of them, you know, as far as their cardiovascular and physical capabilities. Like, these guys are, no lie, these guys are, like, samurais, you know what I mean? But my boy got picked, you know what I mean? My boy got picked, and I was like, yo, shit, like, damn. Like, one of my closest friends literally called me to come, and he got signed. And I'm like, damn, you know, like, and that's when I knew. I was like, I got to get my shit together, because he could have told anybody about this program. He told me. You know what I'm saying? And now he's signed with New Japan as a young lion. So I'm like, all right. So that's when the Dory Funk thing came in, because I was in New York. I started Googling locations, and by Google, it seemed like the best bet. You know what I'm saying? So I moved down here. That's when I did the Dory camp for like 6 months. And then I did the Marty Jones camp and the Robbie Brookside camp. You know, and like I said, I was still humble, very humble and learning, you know. And that's when I met the WWN network, and they really, really helped me out. They liked the way I was moving, and they thought I'd be a good fit for their school. I literally lived, like, I moved out here to Gainesville. And let me let you know, if you're coming to Florida, Gainesville's whack. Like, Gainesville's so whack, it's in the middle of nothing.
And it, like, so, really like, humid out there?
It's not like Miami. See, I grew up in New York. I thought, like, oh, Florida's like Miami. Nah, Miami's like Miami. Like, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, man, after that, I got trained by, after a seminar, I moved. I literally went home, packed all my shit, and in the middle of the night, I moved, like, that week. Like, my roommates didn't even know I left. Like, I didn't even say bye. I didn't even know them. I didn't really know them. I was always in and out anyway. It was really, who am I going to come to? I'm my own keeper, you know? So, I came out here, and I met Matt Sydal. And Matt Sydal really tuned me up. He really got the fine tunings in me and taught me how to wrestle. I had assistance with him and people like Chris Silvio and Frankie Chiazzo helped me as well. And then what really, really set me off, and I say respectfully, because everyone played a major part in my development, but those, you know, I would kudos that to, you know, Evolve and AR Fox, to be frank. You know,
yeah, like I interviewed Sensei, and then like I said, Takuri, and everybody been saying good things about A.R. Fox.
Oh, listen, man,
he raw. I've been watching him because they Sensei told me about him. He raw.
He the best. I say that as an actor wrestler, he's the best. You know, like I'm very fortunate to have him in my corner. You know, and like I said, if it wasn't for the WWN network, I wouldn't be here talking to you guys. You know, like, they really got me understanding wrestling. So, like, I was fortunate enough to travel with Evolve. I used to travel the vans with them. I mean, I've driven to Michigan, Chicago, Atlanta, Boston, New York, Florida. The list goes on, just to name a few, you know. And, like, you know, being around people in the back, like Kushida, and meeting Adam Cole, and be able to pick the brain of people like Matt Riddle as well, and Velveteen Dream, and Montez, and I could keep going. Like, having all those people around, and then being able to meet Fox, and then being able to go to Atlanta and learn the Evolve style of wrestling, I mean, it's groundbreaking. Like, I'm not even trying to put over places, but, like, that's one of the – if you up and coming, man, that's where you got to head. If you close to Georgia, if you close to Florida, you either got to go to the A4, or you got to go to – you know, somewhere in WWN, meet up with Matt Sydal, even like Silvio, like that's where it's at. You know what I mean? There's a lot of places too to show me love. Like, I can't front, like, WXW shows me love, Pop shows me love, people at Vertigo out there show me love. But if you don't get up and do it, you ain't going nowhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Then you were saying using the streets. So what exactly made you stop? Like, what was the moment that made you stop though?
Yeah, it's a wild road, you know, like.
And how did you stop? Because, you know, a ghost, he can't get out the game. So how you got out the game?
So I got out the game by force, man. I got locked up. I got caught up in a little thing. And when they told me the numbers I could face, it really opened my eyes. I was like, okay, I hit a home run here. Nothing crazy. I'll be honest with you, man. I got caught up hustling. You know what I mean? I grew up single, you know, my mom was a single parent, you know what I mean, in New York, and, you know, I was just a product of my environment, you know, and I proudly say this because I haven't done anything like that for years. It's been, woo, like 8 years going that I've been clean and everything, and I, like I said, I go to schools, I help kids out in schools, I help, you know, trouble get off the street and stuff like that, I try to be a big brother and stuff, all that shit, you know, but what really got me out was, you know, like, the, you know what the thing is, man? A lot of people ain't out because they were never in it. You know what I mean? They were never really involved in it. That's why a lot of people, like, they look like, you know, like, unfortunately, I was involved with gangs and stuff as a kid, and I kind of threw it together because it was kind of like I always was good at fighting. Like, like I was always a good fighter in school, and I never started fights. It was just kind of like a thing. Like, someone would be mad at that bag day girl, or someone would get jealous, you know, that macho shit. But a wise man told me a smart man learned from his mistakes, and an intelligent man learned from others. You know what I mean? And being around people who are doing sentences like 20, 30 years and seeing my best friends pass away from the streets really changed my mind. Like, I was like, damn, this is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I've been shot at, bro. I've been stabbed before. Like, I'm very fortunate. I survived many things, you know? And it's crazy because I wasn't a bad person. I wasn't out there, like, being a bully and shit. It's just, there's a beast out there in New York. Like, everyone has it. Everyone, I don't know, man. Everyone's out there trying to make a name for themselves. You know what I mean? And it was just, like, the propaganda, I like to call it, the brainwashing, the music, the media. You know, I awoken in that shit. I was just realizing, like, yo, this ain't, I'm done with this shit. Like, who am I impressing? No one cares. No one cares, bro. You know what I mean? When you in the hospital, no one's coming to visit. When you in jail, no one's giving you commissary. You know what I mean? So, like, you know what I mean? Like, I had a revelation, truthfully, you know, and I was like, all right, what am I good at? I'm good at talking shit, and I'm good at fighting, because I rap, too. I do music, too, you know what I mean? So, like, I grew up freestyling all day, you know, hugging the block, you know, the game, man. Just like what those rap videos were like, man. And, you know, like I said, man, like, I was very fortunate, man. I really owe it to Dwight, the gentleman from England. His name was Dwight Yard. He was a heavyweight boxing coach. He was three-time champion, heavyweight, light heavyweight, and middleweight champion in London. But America won't tell you that, you know. But yeah, he really saved my life, man. He was a 49-year-old, 50-year-old man when I was 20. I came in the boxing ring talking shit, you know, thinking I'm a good fighter. And that man punched me so hard in the face. And that shit opened my eyes. I said, oh, damn. I said, Dwight Yard. Yeah, he's a great coach. He trained Hossein Rockman, who beat Lennox Lewis. He trained Danny Williams, who beat Tyson. So I was very fortunate, man. In this fight game, in boxing and in wrestling, I've been trained by some of the best minds. So, you know, I owe it to them, you know, to be in my position. You know what I mean? But like I said, man, that street shit ain't about it. That street shit don't do nothing. That shit don't do nothing. You know what I mean? The only thing it did for me was give me character. It got me knowing how to move and how to read a room. But shit, man, at the end of the day, the problem with the hood is people are afraid to come out of character. You know, that's the problem. Everyone's playing this tough guy role. People take themselves too serious. You know, I know some people who are geniuses that are stuck in the streets, geniuses. And these people, you know, they can't see themselves going to college because the block don't look at them funny. They can't see themselves working a job, a regular job anywhere to get some extra money because, nah, they can't see that guy working at the register or pumping gas. You know what I'm saying? Like, their ego's so high, so they just do the same bullshit. And that's one of the things about success. You know, like, once you kill the ego, you know, you can really do everything in life. You know what I mean?
What's up? So how would you describe yourself as a wrestler? How would you describe your personality, like your
Money Making Che, that dude, B. You know, I ain't trying to, you know, talk about it, man, but I really ran my block when I was a kid. You know what I mean? I rode with the real crew out there. We're making moves out there. So, like, Money Making Che is just literally a product of his environment, you know? The way I came about portraying this character, if I would, was pretty much from my personal life experiences and from personal people around me, you know what I mean, that really molded me into the person I am today. You know, as far as money making, Shay, you know what I'm saying? I'm a business owner, so I don't need money from nobody. I make my own money. You know what I mean? I would like to call it being an entrepreneur. And that's the best advice I could tell anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to get your own money. You know what I mean? So money making Shay is self-made and self-paid. Everything he want to do, he can do. There's nothing he can't do. You know what I mean? And as far as the money, how the money originally came in was from fighting. You know, it's really crazy because, like, before I came up with this character, man, I was a whole bunch of other weird shit. You know what I mean? I was trying to figure it out like everybody else in wrestling.
What were you?
I had this guy. I had this name called Tito Navaja. And I was pretty much like a flamboyant Razor Ramon Shawn Michaels. Like, it was, you know, and like, it was just weird because then, like, I will, and this is when I was younger. This is why I went back to the block. I was like, that's not me, man. I'm over here, like, I'm a G in these streets, man. And I'm coming over here, like, come on. It wasn't real. I was like, I can't do this, B. So I was like, I'm done with this wrestling shit. You gotta be wearing flower pants and shit. Like, I can't do this, homie. But I killed that ego death. I'll be whatever the company needs me to be now. You know what I mean? As far as money making, Jay, bro, I just really took my life experiences and I threw that shit on 10. I spoke with this guy named Chris Silvio. Excellent mind in the business. He just gets it, you know? And he got me comfortable enough to be myself. You know, here's a funny story, real shit. I went to the A4 with this Tito Navaja gimmick, right? So I go to the A4, and Fox is like, all right, guys, we're doing promos. I'm like, all right. So I think I'm going to hit a home run. You know what I mean? I come up there, and I start talking to people like this, and I tell people that change will come. And I'm talking with this fucking accent. And, like, at the end of the fucking thing, Fox just looks at me. He goes, why are you talking with an accent? And I'm like, I don't know why I'm talking with a fucking accent. That's a good question. He was like, you're going to be on social media. You're going to have to keep that accent forever. And, like, Fox knows this version of me. So I'm like, shit, you're right. I hate that fucking accent, too. You know what I mean? So it really, like, between Fox and between Silvio, they really helped me figure out who I am. So, you know, as far as Che now, Che is literally the Kimbo Slice of professional wrestling. You know what I'm saying? He got the mouth and the money of Ric Flair. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, imagine a hood motherfucker that could have been, because like I said, I could have became a pro boxer. I could have went down that road. But I keep it a buck. I like to get a little wavy. You know what I'm saying? We all have our vices. Then I was like, you know what, man? People don't understand how hard it is. Like, boxing is hard. Like, yeah. I was jump roping 30 minutes, 5 days a week. I was sparring at least 2 or 3 times a week with people. From hitting the bags and hitting things, I would do 12 rounds of bag work plus fucking 8 rounds of pad work. And I told you we were running and doing calisthenics. It was a lot of work. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't get how serious that is. And wrestling's a lot of work too. But wrestling has its little perks of being able to go easier. And you know what I'm trying to say? So it's a different beast, but you know, I can't lie, man. Like I said, boxing, I had more to offer. Now, I'm not disrespecting boxers. I'm not. There's the hardest workers out there. But I had way more to offer than just fighting. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a long line of that. There's going to be a long line of Che products. I'll just say that. You know what I mean? Coming out. So, but yeah, man, that's where we at today. You know what I mean? We out here trying to get this money. We're trying to let the whole world know that we'll take on anybody. You know what I mean?
So what kind of moves you be doing?
You know, I like to catch people. Keep it 1,000 with you. I like to catch people vulnerable. Like, I like to throw people. I like to catch people. Like, people, you know what I'm saying? I be chucking people. So, like, my favorite is the gut wrench. If I could just catch you in a seatbelt, I'm tossing you. You know what I mean?
Like,
so, you
know, like Taz? Like Taz a little bit?
I would say, you know, you could say that. You could say, you know, but he has a different style, you know. Taz, with all due respect, he all day, you know what I mean? I talk a lot of shit. I'm a lot more, you know, imagine your favorite rapper talking mad shit, showing off all his fancy shit, all his money, and then he get in the ring and just throws you. Like, that's more me. That's more me. I'm just a cocky-ass motherfucker. But in real life, I'm just a humble, cocky-ass motherfucker. You know what I mean? It's just, Yeah, you know, I like that strong style. I like throwing the forearms every now and then. I like punching. I do have a couple of moves up my sleeve that involve some combinations. I like to catch people in angles. Like I said, I like to utilize my boxing skills.
Yeah, that's all that's
good. There's a couple of slips I do, and I catch people off in different angles, which throw people off. So, you know, but as far as that, I mean, if you were to say the typical wrestling, you know, like, what kind of wrestler are you? I would just say, I guess, like, you know, if you were to do a check, I would say, like, a powerhouse in a sense. You know, like a power brawler. You know what I mean? I do a little submission. I got a couple of submissions in there, but I don't care about the pin, to be honest with you. I want you to quit. My goal is to have the most people quitting matches. Like, I want to just toss people so much that they're like, I'm done. I'm done. You know what I mean? That's what I'm going for, you know?
And what kind of businesses you got?
You know, I'm an investor. I like to invest in ideas. You know, a lot of businesses need website development. So I help them make those investments, you know, as far as like website designs and like marketing needs and things of that nature. I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, smart men learn from their own mistakes. Intelligent people learn from others. And I've seen these intelligent people have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E. So, you know, I figured out a way to utilize what's needed in today's society. You know, everybody needs promotion. So figure out. And that's the thing I try to tell people. People need to learn. People need to learn how to sell and convey their ideas. So, like, you know, whatever it is, you know, that's what I do. So, like, if you need a website, like whatever you do for a living, I want to help convey that to the world. So I help promote, you know.
You say you be rapping, too?
Oh, yeah, man. I was doing that shit my whole life, bro. I used to call my boys. It would be from, like, 3 o'clock to, like, 10 o'clock. We'd be freestyling all day, bro. My mom would come home. Me and I got bro, screaming, cursing us out and shit. But, yeah, I love that music shit, man. I was always in it. I was always around it, you know. You be spinning? You got some fire?
I'm an R&B dude. Now I got R&B songs, man. I be singing.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about, B. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh. I would say, so who are we going to go? Huh?
No, I'm here, baby.
No, I was going to say, so we're going to just go through some top fives right quick. So give me your top five rappers.
Ooh, damn. All right. Does it have to be in order?
No.
Okay. All right. Top five for number one. Top five for number one. It's difficult. You got to give it to Pac. You know what I'm saying? Pac was just so intellectual. He was just so intellectual, bro. He was one of those people that wasn't afraid to, you know what I'm saying, come out of character. You know what I mean? He could do movies. He could do it all. So he's up there. Everyone's going to say Biggie. I was a fan of Biggie, too. I can't front. Biggie was official. You know what I mean? Keeping 100 with you, though. You know, I didn't listen. I'm from New York, but I didn't listen to him as much as I listened to Pac. I was a young, weird kid. You know what I'm saying? I was into a lot of weird shit, you know, scary shit, poetic shit. I was into a lot of weird shit. Big L. I don't know of a lot of people who Big L is, man. That's Harlem's own, man. Mr. Flamboyant himself. You know, it's funny. I would say Big L is actually a contributor to who I am as a person. You know, how I move. Because, like, I got a vibe, though.
Make you think.
Oh, man, you can ask Beavis. I get nothing but head. Like lines like that. Like, what the fuck you just say? Like, you know what I mean? Like, Big L was just crazy with it, you know? Big Pun. Big Pun's major. Big Pun could be number one, to be honest with you. That's the problem. He was the first person to do it in two languages. So that really says a lot. And number fucking five. See, that's the problem. My number five, like, those number four will never change. That 1, 2, 3, and 4 will always be there. Number five always changes. And, like, I gotta give it to Jay, man. I gotta give it to Jay-Z. because he took this rap game and he monopolized it in such a way that, you know, he was one of the first people to do clothing lines. That Rockaware shit was flying off shelves. You know, then he touched base with shoes, and he touched base with glasses. Diddy's not top five in rapping, but Diddy was another businessman. So that Sean John Rockaware beef, you remember that growing up?
Yeah.
That top five is solid for me with them, man. I would sprinkle Max B in there, but, you know, a lot of people don't know who Max B is. So
yeah, Max B in there, okay. All right. So give me your top five boxers.
Oh, man. See, man, I'm an old – see, that's one thing. I know everything about boxing. I know a lot.
So I'm a boxer, too. I didn't know you knew about boxing. I can talk about boxing all day, too.
I love boxing. Top five. All right, no particular order. You know Tyson is up there. Mike Tyson is one of the best. Listen, James Toney. People sleep on James Toney.
He wrong.
People sleep because with all due respect, you know what I mean? He came out. Listen, man, a real recognized real. If you hungry and you say you got a chance to go against a guy with a big name, you're going to take it, you know? And when he went to the UFC and he fought Homeboy and he got spanked, with all due respect, you got spanked, fam. You know, a lot of people got a bad taste. They didn't know who James Toney was, you know? James Toney, he's a four-division champion, you know what I mean? Middleweight, light heavyweight, cruiserweight, and heavyweight. He beat Evander Holyfield. He beat the shit out of
him. Yep. Killed him.
Watch that fight. The way he moved, and that's another thing. I contribute a lot of my style from James Toney. Props, man, because he's really my favorite boxer. Time he was the first Mayweather. He caught that Philly shell style better than everybody. And just as the last thing about Toney, he's a knowledge buff too, and he got that style from Ezra Charles. Ezra Charles is number three for me. Ezra Charles, if you ever get a chance to Google him.
Ezra?
Yeah, E-Z-Z-A-R-D, Charles. This man, Ezra Charles, he's James Toney back then. Ezra Charles, he had that, he was so pretty with it. You couldn't hit him. He'll slip you and catch you at an angle. You weren't even expecting a punch to come. Ezra Charles is definitely top.
And you see who I got back here, right?
We got, is that Muhammad?
Yeah, dude,
that's Jack Johnson, baby.
Yeah.
I know a lot about Jack Johnson. He was a player. My man was a player.
Yeah, I know. I like his spirit behind me. I said he was raw. He was like, fuck them white folks. I'm going to do what I got to do.
Jack Johnson was beating the shit out of everybody. I love Jack Johnson's energy, bro. His energy is official. I know about this shit. You saw, that's a hard picture. You know how many people don't know who the fuck that is? That picture in the back, they don't know who the fuck that is, man. But the people that do are the real ones. You know, Jack Johnson is another one. You know, his story is amazing. If people don't know about Jack Johnson, he grew up in a racist-ass era. They wouldn't give him a chance. And when he got a chance, he knocked every motherfucker out in the process. In an era where racism was heavy, he was one of the only black men that was allowed to do whatever the fuck he wanted. He had like a privilege-free pass. Like, even the racist fuck up when he was around. So that's some energy that we need to manifest in today's era. You know what I mean? For real.
How do you stop all that racism?
How do we stop it? We need a shitload of Jack Johnsons hitting the block, cutting that shit out. There'll be not a damn thing said again, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Floyd Mayweather. Hate him or love him, he's the best. That motherfucker the best. The best. Even though he lost to Jose Castillo, and he knows he lost to Jose Luis Castillo. And I'm telling you, watch that shit. You're going to see he lost to Jose Luis Castillo. But anyway, and number five. Damn, see, that's the thing, man. Number five is hard to – oh, damn. Bernard Hopkins, even though my boy Joe Smith knocked him out the ring. Shout out to Joe Smith.
He said, white boy can't knock him out. That's what he said.
Bro, Joe. here's a crazy story. When I was boxing, I used to always, and my coaches and a lot of guys I used to fight with, they used to be like, oh, man, I want to see you spar Joe Smith. Now, I grew up in Long Island, and Joe Smith was two towns away. He was in Mastic. And to see Joe, and I never got a chance to spar Joe Smith, and I'm down. You know what I'm saying? I'm down to spar him many times. Humbly, of course. My man knocked out Bernard Hopkins, and he knocked him out the fucking ring. So to see, you know, to even remember the days when I was 18, 19, sparring in the gym. And, you know, I sparred all the way to, like, 27, to be honest with you. And just remember getting told, like, yeah, you should get in the ring with Joe Smith one day. That'd be so great. And we were just – unfortunately, we're just never in the same place at the same time. It wasn't like I was avoiding him. I wasn't – it's not like we're best friends. Like, hey, Joe. We heard of each other. And fucking, yeah, this man – To see him knock out a guy that we used to play as video game, you know what I mean? Like, all of us who played Fight Night have used Bernard Hopkins once or twice.
I'm still playing Fight Night. I'm in a I'm on Facebook now, so shout out to my Facebook. I'm in two Fight Night leagues. We still play online.
Sign me in.
Yeah.
Sign me in. I'm a monster of Fight Night. I might start.
Wait, you got a 3 or you got an Xbox?
I don't know. I'll get whatever I need. You tell me what I need.
This one, I got a PS3, and then you can play online still. So they got gyms, and you join the gym, and then they just, like, the one I'm in right now, we actually make the fight cards, and we actually fight each other and shit. We be sparring each other.
Oh, I need to get in there, bro. I can't lie to you. I love that game.
Yeah. Who you fight? Huh? Who you fight with?
So I've been playing champion. I was playing Fight Night Champion during the whole quarantine. Shout out to Xbox Market for that. I'm very proud of them for keeping that fucking game. I was using Hopkins. Keep it 100 with you. I was using Hopkins heavy. And keeping 100 with you, I just made my own fighter, and I made James Toney.
Ah. Yeah. You don't play online?
Nah, I didn't play online. And I tried. I guess my server was down or something. I don't know what it was. It was something weird. It was saying, like, the server was not available. After all this, you gotta let me know. You gotta show me.
I definitely
want to play that.
Then who's your favorite? Your top five wrestlers.
People talk shit, man. Brock Lesnar is the best wrestler right now in the world.
Oh yeah, he's wrong.
Brock Lesnar is the best wrestler in the fucking world. Take notes. Take notes, everybody. Besides Brock Lesnar. Aaron Fox, man, it's funny to be friends with someone that you consider the best. You know what I mean? Like, to have him as a friend and a coach, like, I knew about him before I met him, and I knew he was the best. So Aaron Fox, real shit, he's definitely one of my top five favorite of all time. But Triple H is up there. Shawn Michaels is up there. But keep it 1,000 with you. A lot of people don't know this. For years, if you would ask me this question before 28, I would have told you Sabu and Raven.
I like Sabu. I like Raven too.
They were the best. They were so good. That ECW era, they were the best, man.
Yeah, Sabu, like in the ring, that shit was like he was doing crazy shit. I don't even know how he still like get around. How he used to do. He used to do crazy shit all the time.
Yeah, nah, Sabu's crazy, B. Like, he was, you know, I met him a few times, man. I was really fortunate. They say don't meet your heroes. That's bullshit. You know what I mean? Meet your heroes if you're Sabu, because Sabu's official. I hung out with him. I blew a couple L's with him. Like, he official, man. He a real one. I thought he was Puerto Rican. That's actually, like, a legit question I asked him. I was like, are you Puerto Rican? He goes, I'm Lebanese. I'm like, all right. Thanks, man. I need to know that my whole life. Appreciate it.
So what's next for you, man? What else going on?
Man, I got this whole trip. The COVID fucked me up. I can't even lie to you. COVID messed me up heavy, bro. I was supposed to be in Hawaii last month. I was supposed to be in Puerto Rico yesterday. I'm going to Puerto Rico sometime this week. I found a way that I can get through to there. So it's just a process. But, you know, going to the Virgin Islands too, you know what I mean? A lot of traveling, but a lot of wrestling too. I'm shooting a lot of videos, getting a lot of vignettes ready. I met a lot of good connections in Florida. Very fortunate. So there's gonna be a lot of wrestling in Florida. There's gonna be wrestling in Atlanta. You're gonna see me in Alabama. I know a New York motherfucker gonna be in Alabama. Motherfuckers gonna watch out. Shit gonna get real. But yeah,
Yeah. So what promotions have you been in so far?
Let's see. I was in New Era Wrestling. I believe it's called NEW. Pronounce me if I'm butchering it. That was in Alabama. I recently worked out some negotiations with Sweetwater Pro, which is going to be in Miami. I've been speaking with WXW, so I'm going to be doing stuff with WXW. I've been speaking with ACW. Let me do some stuff with them. You know, I got a couple of people that I've been speaking to about going to Puerto Rico and wrestling. So, I got a lot of good, good connections as far as the facilities where I'm going to be wrestling at. But like I said, on my Instagram, I'm going to be promoting that shit all day. So people can definitely see what's going to be happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was saying, I had homie Shiloh Greaves on here, and he was just saying there's a lot of indie wrestlers out now. So how you think you can break through? Well, same just like rap, it's a lot of rappers too. So it's a lot of wrestlers. So what are some ways you can kind of, break through if you trying to do this? Yeah.
I'm bringing something that people can't bring, and I don't mean that in a cocky way. I mean that in a truth. I feel like as far as me, I'm going to be bringing a style, not even just a style of wrestling, but I'm going to bring a caliber of wrestling that people have been dying to see. Like, everybody sees these people from the streets. With all due respect, I love wrestling. I love the people I met in it. There's some great guys, and there's some fucking fools in there, too, that they know better now. You know what I mean? But keep it a grip with you, man. There's not a lot of real motherfuckers in this game. With all due respect, man, there's a lot of cool motherfuckers. But what I mean by real is there's not a lot of people from the street in this game. You got a lot of people acting gangster who ain't gangsters. You got a lot of people acting tough who ain't tough. And I respect them. They get opportunities. But I'm going to bring a sense of clarity to wrestling. I'm going to bring something real. Like, I'm going to have people at the end of my promos be like, is this motherfucker dead ass? I'm going to have people really thinking, because the streets need it. The streets really need it, man. I grew up on the streets, man. There was never nothing on TV for us. Being Puerto Rican, I'm 100% Puerto Rican, man. I got African in me, man. We're in the roots. And, I always seen how they did us. They always did us whack. They made us look like they never did us justice, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, all we had was crime time and, rest in peace, to my homie, man. But at the end of the day, it's like, every time you get a Spanish guy on there, what are you doing with him? The same bullshit. As far as me, man, I'm just going to be coming with the heat. Like, I don't give a shit. Keep it 100 with you, sign me or not. You're going to see me. Like, I don't care. I don't care about getting signed. I'm not in this for the money. I got money. I've been – that's – and I'm humble. I'm blessed, to be fortunate to, be able to be successful in that state. But as far as wrestling, I'm just going to market better than everybody else. It's about getting your face seen. I'm just going to put out content. After content. If anybody want to go against me, they better have some quality content, because I'm going to spend the extra nickel, to come up with some shit. So, as far as me, I'm just going to bring the streets to wrestling. We need it, man. You know how many kids out there? Look, man, the hood doesn't even want to watch wrestling these days, because they know that shit's, keep it 1,000 with you, they think they know that shit's whack. I speak to these people and they tell me, but when you come on, or when I, we need something in the hood. We need something to represent us. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's coming. You know what I'm saying? Finally, we're going to have somebody from the streets, representent us. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not bragging about the streets like it's glorious. But there's a lot of Puerto Rican kids, there's a lot of black kids out there that need someone they can relate with. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm going to bring. I'm gonna bring that category that people couldn't do because they weren't about that life. So that's really what's going to be nice about it. We want to see some hood shit happen in wrestling. You know what I mean? We may bring Smack DVD back.
Yeah, I think the I don't know, like, I guess you're saying, like, street wrestlers. It's probably, like, New Jack.
I love New Jack. Shout out to New Jack. I love New Jack. Yo, I was a fan. When homeboy followed me and liked my picture, I was a fan. I was like, ah, New Jack. New Jack's official, bro. I love New Jack. He was a little crazy, but you know what? I don't know what he went through.
He fucking failed to bust his fucking head. I know he was a little crazy. Fucking head for 50 feet. Shit.
You know what? The wrestling's a job. You know what I'm saying? It's a work. And, you know, sometimes, you know, look, I've been in positions where somebody hurt me on purpose in wrestling. Real shit. And it happens. Someone really tried to end my career one time. And I beat his ass. You know what I mean? I ain't going to put his name out there because he don't deserve it. But people who know me know who it is. And, you know, I'm not saying that whatever he did, but like I said, wrestling's an interesting business where people take liberties on you. You know what I mean? And, you know, sometimes, like I said, I don't know. Hey, New Jack, if you thought you had to do what you had to do, all right, brother, got you. Just don't do it. That fucks with you.
So what would you like to say to your fans and supporters?
We out here, baby. You know, we out here, man. Listen, I came from nothing, bro. I came from nothing. Listen, I was on EBT watching BET. Real shit. You know? I got spelled out of 13 schools. Real shit. This is facts. Real promo, baby. I got kicked out of 13 schools. I snuffed my teacher for calling me a disrespectful term, which I won't say. You know what I mean? If I could come from shit and turn it into sugar, you can too. You know, it's a celebration. Real shit. When I come around, man, people need to understand, like, wow, like, you know, I could too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't got to be on the streets. I could be a star. I don't have to sell drugs. I could be a star. Whether it's guitar, drums, you want to be a wrestler, a boxer, a golfer, like, I'm a success story. Because I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be a wrestler. I like, when I got locked up and I changed up everything, all this shit costs money. to get into these wrestling schools, to travel, to fly around, to have clothes on your back, food in your stomach, that shit costs money. And a lot of people are afraid to pursue their dreams because of lack of funds. So, you know, what I got to say to my fans and people who support me, you gotta cut the shackles off your wrist, baby, and fucking attack these dreams, man. You want to be an R&B singer? You want to be a professional wrestler, a boxer? You got to get off that fucking hamster wheel. Because a lot of people think they're moving, but they're in a hamster wheel. When they get up there, poof, they're in their room. When they're running on that treadmill, boom, they're in their room. You know what I mean? They need to get out of that. They need to pursue their dreams. So, you know, I appreciate all the people that do follow me. I appreciate all the people that don't fucking like me. I appreciate all the people that shake my hand in public who really don't like me, because that shows how pussy y'all are. So at the end of the day, you know, I just want to bring the truth in a world of make-believe. So I appreciate everybody giving me the opportunity. You know what I mean?
All right, man. I want to say thanks for coming through politics with me.
All day, B. I appreciate your love, man. Holler at me. If y'all want to follow me, man, I'm going to, you know, self-plug. Sorry about that. But XX Money Making Che. That's XX Money Making Che. We out here, man. Holler at me all day, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, we're going to have to follow up with you, man, because we got a lot of stuff we can talk about.
Oh, yeah. We got to link up, man. That fight night. You got me amped on that fight night. Let's get it, bro.
Yeah. I'm going to get at you right now. Hold on. Let me cut this off.